Right on the time button today.
Okay. Oops,
hitting like the wrong button here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm John Miglosh for the Wisconsin DMA. So here's a feature from Don Julio Por Amor. Don Julio. I guess it's a tequila. Anyway, we'll play it. I'm playing it a little fast because it's moved so fast you can't tell what's going on anyway. We'll just play it for a while. If not for love, then for what? Probably Don Julio. Tequila. I don't drink much tequila. It's a beer commercial, in case you don't get it. Oh no, tequila. Now, wasn't that a beer? And that's the part I like. This is the part I like best. Hecho en México. That means made. Hecho. Anyway, anyway, let's get over to the story from Adland TV, my favorite. If not for love, for what? Don Julio's tequila love letter to Mexico. Don Julio is one of 200 brands owned by the conglomerate Diego. So it's, you know, this is totally authentic, probably created in New York City, but filmed in Mexico. The ad is a celebration of Mexico that's heavy on style and light on message. What are you going to say anyway? Tastes like tequila. Filmed across a series of locations in Mexico, entirely in Mexico. From streets and local markets to the beautiful beaches of Tulum. And I, you know, you don't recognize much of anything. Jalisco is where Don Julio is made, I guess, the home of. And this version was custom made for the Oscars, in case you didn't know. So there you go. But, you know, when I was watching it, I was thinking, I wonder what John Evans would say about this, you know, about especially about the third category, which is whether or not it builds your brand and whether or not people even get what's going on. You know, I does it boost sales? I don't know. That's one of the fun things about the ad world is most of the time they just don't know and they don't want to know. And I've covered that before. Do they really want to know? No. They really want to do something fun. They really want to go around Mexico and find cool location shots that get 1.5 seconds. Okay. Now, here's another interesting article about marketing and such. Ban male podcasts. So you want to get over to WDMA.org or Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple and listen to this podcast because it may be banned because, yes, I'm male. Sorry, I came that way. I just have always been that way. I don't know what else to do. But anyway, The Drum, Anna Fitzpatrick, it was actually a pretty good article. I really did think so. But it turns out that there's that some people mistakenly think of women as a market. Well, for some products, you know, and I can't think of any because I'll get in trouble. So what do I know anyway? But my guess is that most of the chainsaw buyers aren't women. Most. I'm not saying they don't use them, but, you know, they might want to take a lumberjack along, like I would, actually. I got ripped off by my chainsaw dealer. I took in my Echo, and they said it was unfixable. And then my neighbor welded it back together, and it's been running for 20 years. And I found out that there's a guy at the hardware who collects those particular Echo chainsaws, and he said, I can fix this thing forever. And so I like that. But I got a Husqvarna, too, and it's been nothing but trouble. That's not real data. But anyway, so there's all kinds of marketing that mistakes cultural signals for culture at large. Women are calling themselves girls. Is it infantilizing or empowering? And Anne says both sides miss the point. Is that right, Anne? Yeah, Anna. Say both sides miss the point. Deriding viral moments as meaningless, so you can't say it's nothing. You can't say it's everything. You can't say it's nothing. And there's a good principle here. Delusional detachment. What do you mean I have to write this article? I'm literally just a girl. See, I don't know anything about this, but I'm always fascinated by how women portray themselves, what they wear. You know, I wouldn't wear that. I don't think I would. I wouldn't look good either. You know, and I'm not saying all women do. You know, the women at church dress very tastefully, but some women don't, I think. But it intrigues me. It intrigues me the breadth of what's fashion, about of what, you know, of, you know, yeah, what counts as a woman's perspective. Girl Math poked fun at the joy and chaos of having your head in the clouds. I think that's funny. Reminds me kind of like Forrest Gump. Lazy girl jobs. I saw that go by a couple of times. And I don't really know what it's about, but it sounds funny. Girly-coated rodents are overwhelmed by adult life. Come with me, miss. You've been selected for a security screening. And there's this hamster with a, you know, photoshopped up girl, pink, pink suitcase and all these pink stuff. Here's the latest trend. This is a 22-year-old fashion model who's making breakfast cereal totally from scratch, and she's a sensation apparently. Then there's female rage as another category, which is where that t-shirt came from, like ban male podcasts. I don't know if that's a thing or not. You know, would I care? I don't know that anybody listens. If you've ever listened to one of my podcasts, I dutifully put them up every day, and I make sure that if I go longer than 20 minutes that I cut it back to no more than 20 minutes, 19 plus something. Okay, all men are trash. You be the judge. I take out the trash, though. You know, there are jobs that I do. Women are not an audience because women are not a monolith. Absolutely right, except that there are products that are designed by women, for women, and marketed to women. We're certainly not a community. Well, there's some aspects, you know. There's been many, many studies that women do have some agreement on some issues. So here's the deep understandings. Everything has meaning. Is that true? How do you prove a statement like that? Not everything matters to your brand. That is true. You can't measure even if you could measure everything, not everything matters. Nothing happens in isolation. Find out what's driving it. Remember what you're here for, to translate insight into inspiration. How about sell stuff? How about we sell stuff? Okay, so let's roll up our sleeves and get stuck in. Get stuck in. To properly represent women and any audience, really, we need to do away with lazy insights, whether that be falsely presenting a trending hashtag like girl math as a cultural shift or deriding it as nonsense. You know, I think statistically, girls tend to lose interest in math, you know, in about high school. And I gained interest in math about then. And those things, I think there are some universal differentiations, but I think our culture is too loony to see it. So anyway, I think, yes, some matter and some don't. But I thought that the t-shirt was brilliant. The ANA is planning on a programmatic benchmarking service. Okay, what's this about? And I don't really know, from Roanne Shields at Digiday. I've been reading Digiday more often, and they have some excellent marketing reports that the marketing magazines don't cover. But last year there was a preliminary transparency report on ad tech, and it found that hundreds of major advertisers unknowingly placed ads on so-called made-for-advertising websites. And in the last year, it's been reported that AI bots can scrape legitimate websites and create made-for-advertising websites by the thousands in literally seconds. And so, and then they link to each other, and you end up with all kinds of attractive headlines that will get you to click on them and are completely vacuous or articles written and read by robots. Scott Adams, again, was prescient in his Robots Reading the News, which is only available mostly to his Patreon group. But anyway, ANA said that people had to try harder. The new ANA initiative will initially invite advertisers to evaluate the efficiency of their programmatic supply chain in conjunction with Tag TrustNet. Now, Dr. Augustine Fu, who speaks out on this topic a lot, said this is all baloney let's not put words in his mouth. He said that Tag was an attempt to assure the advertising industry without really digging into catching the crooks. I would contend that the advertising industry has an interest in false clicks because that's what most people are looking at. And so the more false clicks, the better. It makes you think your advertising is working. But somehow ANA is going to wade into this. I'd love to hear from Lisa Smith. The Benchmark Project will initially invite 35 marketers, which seems like too few. That's from Bill Dugan, an ANA executive VP. And this is the issue, erosion of trust, MFA, fraud, viewability rates. You know, they're actually building sites where they'll drop a cookie on your prospect's website, browser, machine, even though the ad is invisible. There might be 1,000 ads on a made-for-advertising site that dump onto my machine, unless I use Firefox, which I do, and other blockers. And, you know, I may not have actually been shown more than one ad and yet have 1,000 cookies from the supposed advertisers, which means that when you mail that household and they buy from you, directly caused by the mailing, any one of those 1,000 ads that you didn't even see can take credit in the attribution algorithms, which is why this is such a devious little industry, right? So the fact that they're even doing this is an indication of marketers' loss of faith, and I think that's probably right. Billions of advertiser budgets are lost to MFA and ad fraud, $20 billion, actually, it says here, from another study from the Goodway Group. But here is the reason I brought this up. When marketers focus on the wrong metrics, such as CTR, you know, and I get tired of all these acronyms, so I'm not even going to try. You obviously know what that means. It's easy to game the system when you're measuring meaningless metrics. You need to be able to tie your media metrics to overall marketing to gain the full picture. And if you've ever listened to my show before, you know that mail is the best way to sort this out. Because with mail, not only do we know who bought, but we know who engaged and didn't buy. And again, watch a few more of my shows and you'll get that. But even more importantly, we can not mail in the whole cloud of all your digital and all your retail and all your out of home and anything else you do, we can selectively not mail 10%. And we can see the incremental lift of the mailing. We can measure exactly the purchases following the mail, right? We can carefully measure the differential between all the names we mailed and all the names we held out for mailing, but we could have mailed. They were just as good. They were statistically valid control group that didn't get mailed. And we can see the differential. And mail always wins. And typically, it's a 300% return on investment, right? That means profit compared to the ad spend. But your revenue per ad spend is often 10 times. It has to be, because the profitability, the net profit, is probably about 30%. Anyway, let's get to one more article. We got a couple of minutes. 7 testimonial secrets to boost your response. Testimonials can boost your response. This is from my friend Craig Huey. Can boost your response, sometimes dramatically. Use testimonials on your loading pages. I think that might be landing pages. Ad website, video, TV, podcast, radio, social ad, digital media, direct mail, in other words, everywhere. And here are 7 secrets. I don't know if these are secret, but they're good ideas, let's just say. Craig writes to the search bots. Use a picture of a person above or next to the testimonial. Get the real person, photo or video, either one. Don't use models. Don't use models. Perfect people or smooth testimonials. They aren't believable. If the person looks average, stumbles over their words, or is unrehearsed, the response is much better. The person your marketing people don't want to show probably will be the best to increase response. We used to use this in whitetail.com when I was actually running it. And people would write in and they'd say, I like your stories because they sound like hunters. It's because I didn't edit them at all. I left all the spelling mistakes and grammar mistakes and everything else and showed the pictures that they sent. Use iPhone for video, not professional videos. Use star ratings by testimonials. They automatically create credibility. You'll get a 12% increase when you say letters or emails on file, which I suggested to a client yesterday without knowing this. 52% increase in response when the testimonial is in the same state as the prospect. A state or city increases credibility and curiosity. For B2B, use title or even company. Use a pre-head above the testimonial and always quote a written testimonial. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what a pre-head is. I'm guessing it's a little bit of a headline above the thing. Our customers say, or something like that. So you can figure out what's going on. That's enough for today. I'm finishing early for a change. Have a great day. Like and share. Remember, there's podcasts over on WDMA.org. You can get the show notes marked up in my own hand after every show, a while after. So feel free to chime in, and thanks for watching. Repost. It's worth 12 likes. Bye-bye.